on time. We on time. We on time. What's up, y'all? We on time today. Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. We're bumping that Mink Slide. This is from the first Mink Slide album. From the Egyptian Musk album, Fantastical. But we're here, guys. Welcome to Tariq Radio. I'm your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Shout out to everybody listening worldwide. I see a lot of people in the chat room from all over the diaspora. We're here. We're going to chop up some great game on today's broadcast. I might even take some phone calls, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see how this schedule is rolling. So just in case I take calls, the phone number is 818-850-5404. Let's take another brief commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, while everybody's piling on in the room. Y'all come on in the room. We're going to have some great conversation on today's broadcast. So don't move a muscle. We will be right back right after these messages.
Listen up, Squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get The Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Are you looking to start your own business? Millions of brothers have turned to eBay to escape the rat race. Become your own boss and get the Power Seller Research eBook. It's a comprehensive, step-by-step guide that explains how to start an eBay business. The website is powersellerresearch.com. Again, that's powersellerresearch.com.
If you need $150,000 or more for any worthy business project, our friends at Wilshire Financial can help you out. Loan approvals are between 24 to 48 hours and funding within 5 days or less. On their site, their team of experts at Wilshire Financial will handle all of the details from start to finish. Give them a call at 702-747-5648. They have experts standing by to answer any questions. Again, Wilshire Financial, 702-747-5648. What's up, family? You guys need to check out this cookie company out of Houston, Texas called The Cookie Confidant. Man, they sell these beautiful, delicious, huge cookies right out of Houston, Texas, man. And the brother has been in business since 2017. And I've tried these cookies, man. They are bomb, bomb, bomb. Very delicious. My personal favorite are the chocolate chip pecan cookies, man. They are bomb. Y'all need to go to cookieconfidant.com. to get these cookies. Black-owned company, man. They got chocolate chip peanut butter cookies, white chocolate cookies with sprinkles, man. So anything you like in a cookie, they got it. So again, go to cookieconfidant.com. That's cookieconfidant.com. It's tax time again, so let the experts at Clark Pro Taxes make filing your taxes easy for you. They can prepare your taxes in person or virtually in all 50 states. Just snap a picture of your documents and leave the rest to them. Let Clark Pro Taxes prepare your personal or your business taxes. So get in touch with them right now at www.clarkprotaxes.com. Their calendars are open right now and they're pre-booking for the new tax season. That's clarkprotaxes.com and follow them on Facebook at Clark Pro Taxes. Listen, are you ashy as hell? Do you have dry, parched skin? Does your elbows look like elephant knees? If so, you want to get your skin from crusty to lovely. Go to ashkicking.com to get all the lotions, lubricants, and body butters that you need to get your skin in order. They got all types of health and beauty products, everything you need. They got incense, things to make your house smell good, things to make you smell good. So again, go to ashkicking.com. Again, that's ashkicking.com.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave an op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at ogoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground. So you can feel free when you out in the town. Ogoon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
Let's get down to it.
You are now tuned in to the Godfather of the Game. Often imitated and always celebrated.
Stop sloganeering. Sloganeering kills people.
Hey, yo, check this out. It's
Tariq Nasheed on Tariq Radio.
Let's go. Let's go.
Be my goddamn thumb alone.
Oh, yeah, we're back. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. Glad to have y'all tuning in. People love our commercials. Shout out to all my advertisers. We got a lot of great advertisers. Notice our advertisers advertise all the time because they get great results for the rates. We got great advertising rates, and I never really promote the advertising rates. But you guys, if you guys want to advertise on the broadcast, man, you guys go to TariqRadio.com. TariqRadio.com, man. You reach millions of people weekly for a very reasonable fee to advertise your stuff, man. We got great rates. So go to, if you have a business, I love doing business with folks, my black-owned businesses out there. TariqRadio.com if you want to promote your stuff, man. Holler at us. I really don't promote that enough, but if you got something popping, you got your business popping, let's get it popping. Doing that business together, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, a lot of stuff we're going to talk about on today's broadcast. A lot of folks we're going to chop up game. A lot of stuff we're going to chop up game with on today's broadcast. Don't forget, guys, go to Buck Breaking to get the Buck Breaking movie, buckbreakingmovie.com. Black History Month is coming up, so we might have a very special sale coming up so that people can get all the films and the books and all of that good stuff. So I keep you guys posted on what the Black History sale will be coming up for Black History Month. And do not forget, we're going to be celebrating the first fully Foundation of Black American created and themed holiday, Arutasasi. That's going to be December 24th of this year. We're going to start December 24th of this year, and we're going to be preparing all year for it. So you guys stay tuned for that. Everybody hit the thumbs up button, hit that like button, hit that thumbs up button, hit the like button, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of stuff we're going to get into on tonight's show. First thing, we got to talk about this. The Democrats and the powers that be, they're patting themselves on the back because they got this Maya Angelou quarter. They're going around like, hey, look at us. Oh, look, we are doing something for Black people. We gave you a symbolic nothing burger. This is what this is. This is all this is. Maya Angelou becomes the first Black woman to appear on the U.S. quarter as the Treasury begins distribution. So she's on the back of the quarter. So we got a Foundation of Black American, descendant of American slavery, on the back of the quarter. And George Washington, a slave owner, who's on the front of the quarter. See, that they're not showing you the other side of the quarter. The other side of the quarter is George Washington's ass, who we know was a slave owner. But, you know, the symbolisms are not lost. Listen. Oh, yeah, they know what the symbolism is. They know what the real symbolism is. White daddy on the front, slaves on the back. But look at what they're trying to achieve. They can knock out many birds with one stone with this symbolic nothing burger. One thing they can do, notice how they say, well, she's the first Black woman. This is that whole gender divide thing that they're trying to promote with Black men and Black women. They stay trying to promote a gender divide. Giving all of this phony praise and props to Black women, and fortunately, a lot of sisters are not going for it, because they see the con game for what it is. They try to cause a divide and a rift between black men and black women by showering black women with a bunch of phony praise, like, hey, we're going to treat you a little bit better than we treat your men, but not really. You know, we still have the Breonna Taylors out here still suffering at the hands of white supremacy. A lot of sisters are losing their brothers, fathers, and sons to white supremacy, so they're not treating us any different. Black men and black women, we're one of the same. When one hurts, the other hurts. There is no separation of black men and black women. We are one and the same. So this is their little feeble attempt at a gender divide. Also, the symbolic nothing burger, they think this is going to be a replacement for tangibles. So now we can give all of these millions and billions of dollars to these other groups. See, these other groups are not getting symbolic nothing burgers. The powers that be, they're giving these people real tangibles where they're giving them money. They're giving them real financial incentives. They're giving them actual money. And the trick bag they put on us is, well, we'll put your face on money. We're not going to give you the money we're putting your face on, but we'll just put your face on there as a cool little symbol. It's a cool little symbolic gesture. You're not going to get no tangible specific to you, but at least your face is on the money. So when we give it to other people, your face will be on it. So you're included too. See, that's our minority coalition. Wink, wink. This is a sick joke that these white supremacists are doing, guys. This is a sick ass joke. And we got to watch out for these empty symbolisms when they start wiping you out. The white supremacists are good for empty symbolisms while they're wiping a group of people out. I noticed that in Australia. When I went to Australia some years back, the black Aboriginal people, well, they just pretty much wipe most of them out, especially out there in the Sydney area. But when you go around Sydney, Australia, they have all types of trinkets and memorabilia and little statuettes of black Aboriginal people. If you go to a store, they have these little statuettes, these little wooden figurines of black Aboriginal people. They got little pictures of them, little symbolic things of them all over the city. You go all over Sydney, Australia, they're on coins. Black Aboriginal people are on plates. They're on refrigerator magnets. They have them everywhere. And I was going around seeing all of these little symbolic trinkets and little memorabilia pieces of the black Aboriginal people. And I said, hey, where in the hell are the actual people? I would like to see them while I'm here. Because I didn't see too many black Aboriginal people in Sydney. I didn't see too many of them. And whenever I asked the white people where they were, they had this embarrassed look on their faces. You understand? They would always have this embarrassed look on their faces. But then they kept telling me to go to Redfern. That's the place where most of them are funneled into. It's like a few city block areas, a very small area called Redfern. And I went over there and weren't too many of them out. But this just goes to show they'll show all types of symbolisms while they're wiping you out. And we have to not go for that. Somebody said they just made an Ida B. Wells Barbie doll. See, yeah, no. We need some tangibles. We need some tangibles. And we have to stop going for the symbolic gestures. We're not going to go for this. The Democrats are making desperate moves right now. They know that they're in trouble. And by the way, some people are asking about the museum. I posted something on my Instagram story. There's a property that we're looking for that's in the mid LA area. We're putting a bid on it this week. Hopefully they accept the bid. They told us the price. We're going to put our bid in and we're going to see what they say. It's a nice spot. It's a real nice spot. And we're just trying to get them to accept the bid that we're going to put in for the location. So we're moving forward with the museum. We are still moving forward on the museum. I We did a walkthrough of this place a few days ago, and I showed that on my Instagram Live. And this is a spot that's very central in LA. It's kind of close to Beverly Hills, Hollywood. Real cool area. Real cool area. People from the Valley can come through. People from South LA can come through. People from downtown Hollywood. So it's a pretty good location, and hopefully they take our bid. The price is pretty decent too. So hopefully we get this thing popping. We're just waiting on them. We're going to put the bid in this week, and we're just waiting on them to accept it. So we'll keep people posted on that. But yeah, we're going to make this thing happen. Oh yeah, we're going to make this thing happen. But I digress, and I keep people posted on that. But like I said, about the symbolic nothing burgers and the symbolic gesture. See, the Democrats, man, they know that Kamala Harris is in the tank. Biden is in the tank. We're not rocking with them. The disrespect is just so blatant at this point. The Democratic candidates at this point are so contemptuous towards black people and the black voters. Out there in New York, that Sambo, Eric Adams, they just gave almost 1 million non-citizens the right to vote out there in New York. That's what that whole vote, I told people, that whole voting rights thing, them trying to get us to support the Voting Rights Act, that's not for us. I kept telling black people, don't let them trick bag you into that. The Voting Rights Act, man, they're trying to practice racism by not letting y'all vote. No, this ain't about us. I told people that Voting Rights Act had nothing to do with us. Black people, we got the right to vote. That was a con game. We already have the right to vote. They're talking about where you're going to have to use some IDs, and a lot of black folks don't have no IDs because it's racist. And stop it. Stop it. That whole voting rights thing had nothing to do with us. They just wanted us to get on board with it. They wanted to piggyback our struggle. They always try to conflate our struggle with and I won't even say struggle of other people, the business of other people, because they're not struggling. All they have to do is waddle over here and then they start eating good. That's not struggling. That's leeching. And I'm tired of people leeching off of us. You're not going to compare all of these other groups to us, and all they got to do is get across the border and they're good. After our foundational black American family had to suffer and fight and build every damn thing. So now you're not going to do that. You're not going to conflate our lineage and struggle and suffering with other groups. I'm just not going for that. We as Foundation of Black Americans, we're going to have to get the bag. We need that paper. And black folks, we have to stay on that wave. We have to stay that. We have to stay there. We have to keep beating that drum. We have to not be afraid. And look, they're trying all types of tricks now. Right now, the Democrats then cobbled together something else. Hold on, let me show y'all this. Something else that they're doing. What is this thing? Right now, the Kellogg Foundation, they got something where they're going to have it's time for honest conversation, sharing deep truths, deep listening, and finding a way forward together. Join us for the 6th annual National Day of Racial Healing. So this is some bullshit they got where they're going to start talking about how bad racism is, and the white folks sit there and nod their heads like, yes, I understand. Some deep listening. This is the truth and reconciliation con game, ladies and gentlemen. Here they go. I'm not cool with this. This ain't it. We're not trying to sit here and talk about our feelings. And by the way, this is from the Kellogg Foundation. The Kellogg Foundation is a part of this. Now, family, here's the irony. The Kellogg Foundation, the Kellogg family, these people, and these are the people who made cornflakes and all that. These people, that family, they were eugenicists, family. The Kellogg's family, these people were in the eugenics movement. They were major contributors to the eugenics movement, trying to wipe black people out. So the irony is very, very interesting. And I won't even say irony. They know what it is. But let me play the clip of this chick here, one of their spokespersons, talking about the racial day of healing. Now listen to this. Hold on. Let me play this real quick. Hold on 1 second. Wait, where are we at? Hold on.
From truth comes transformation. From community comes possibility. From hope comes healing. In reckoning with the pain of our past, we can build a stronger and more equitable future together. We invite you to join us on Tuesday, January 18th, 2022, for the 6th annual National Day of Racial Healing. To learn more, to sign up for the event, and to find resources, visit dayofracialhealing.org. From truth comes transformation. From community comes possibility. From hope comes healing. In reckoning with the pain of our past, we can build a stronger and more equitable future together. We invite you to join us on Tuesday, January 18th, 2022, for the 6th annual National Day of Racial Healing. To learn more, to sign up for the event, and to find resources, visit dayofracialhealing.org. From truth comes transformation.
All right, all right. Okay, boy, let's unpack this. Okay, now first of all, y'all hear the accent, okay? Y'all hear her accent. So this is clearly not an FBA person. They know how to get these immigrants to be the spokespersons for the so-called racial healing that we're supposed to heal from. They're talking about racial healing and all this, and this is 100% an immigrant. You can hear her accent. You can hear her damn accent, by the way, with this racial healing talk. Okay? So you hear her accent talking about we need to talk about our past. No. Our past is different. Family, we don't need non-FBA people acting as our spokespersons. I've talked about this many times. Non-FBA people, you cannot speak for foundational Black Americans. We have different experiences. Yes, some of y'all were in slavery in the Caribbean islands. Our experiences are a little bit different because we didn't flee. We stayed and fought. If we want to keep it a buck. We stayed and we dealt with that government that oppressed us so that we can get what we're supposed to get from that damn government. We didn't bounce. We stayed and made the country that we built a little bit better, or as good as we can get it, and we're still fighting to make it a better place. We didn't bounce and go get tangibles and eat off other folks. We didn't have that luxury. So we're not playing that game. I don't want nobody to come over here pointing their finger to us talking about what we need to do to heal and we need to talk and no. That's not what we want. And we don't want non-FBA spokespersons trying to misrepresent us because we don't want to sit here and have deep conversations. That's white man, white woman, please love me talk. We gonna have deep listening. Fuck a deep listen. Man, we're past that, man. That's why they got to get these non-FBA people, man. We're past that. No, listen, I'm listening to hear that direct deposit hit. That's what I'm listening for. I'm listening for the change to drop in the bottom of the cup. That's what I'm listening for. I'm not here to explain to white people how bad they've been treating us. Black folks, please don't get into that type of business. These immigrant folks, they can do that because they came over here and they're grateful for coming over here because they've already gotten their comeuppance. They've come over here and they already got their reparations that were unwarranted. Just coming over here eating off our tax dollars is your reparations. That's why whenever we want to talk about what's for foundational Black Americans, these immigrants come in the mix and start talking around it. Because they already got the little bag. Just coming over here is a bag for them. The minute they get here, they start getting shit that they didn't earn. That we've worked for off of our tax dollars. Let's keep it a buck. So yeah, you don't. They're not going to rock the boat, and the white people know this. They know that they're not going to rock the damn boat. They know that they're going to go along just to get along with the program. So they're going to be the main ones pushing that. Well, let's have a deep conversation and talk and have a racial healing and a reckoning. All of this is hug fest, love fest, kumbaya. Let's talk about your feelings. This is not about feelings. What's love got to do with it? We're talking about debts that's owed and what's supposed to come to foundational Black Americans. Let's stop all that racial. When you hear racial healing, and no. We're talking about monetary compensation. Racial healing means kumbaya. That's a bullshit term. Because you heal by compensating the people that you've aggrieved. That's how you heal. That's why people get paid pain and suffering money in civil suits. That's how you heal. When somebody goes to court and say, hey, I was aggrieved by somebody. I got hit by a car. I need 100,000 of them things for pain and suffering. That's what I need. I need some pain and suffering money. I'm not here to hug white people. I'm cool on that. All of these jive-ass symbolic gestures over substance. We're just not going for that no more, ladies and gentlemen. Because, see, we're getting attacked on all fronts. Not only do we get attacked with them trying to run the symbolic gesture game on us, they're attacking us in other ways. And I keep warning people about the LGBT agenda and how nefarious and scandalous it is. Speaking of Democrats, because see what they do, they sit up here and they bully Black people and they bully everybody, making it damn near a crime to talk against what they're trying to do. When Black people start calling them out, and people in general start calling them out for their agenda, or saying, when Black people are saying, hey man, I really don't want this agenda pushed down my throat, they start labeling you homophobic, or they start attacking you, they start bullying you. And what they do, they make people afraid to speak out against them. And see, once they bully you into submission, then the real agenda starts coming through. They start saying, hey, so since I have you nice and bullied, by the way, sex with kids, that's also a sexuality that we need to put on the LGBTQIA spectrum board. And see, they put these little testers out there every couple of years to see what the reaction of the people is going to be. And we told people for years, even in the movie Buck Breaking, ladies and gentlemen, that's why you have to get the movie Buck Breaking if you have not seen it, buckbreakingmovie.com. We told people what the agenda is. They're trying to really normalize pedophilia. And when we said that, it was a bunch of, oh, come on, y'all, that's Hotep talk. Oh, that's that conspiracy. Oh, you conspiratorial niggas. That's that Afrocentric. Oh, you guys are just spewing conspiracies. You're like the Black Alex Jones. Nobody's trying to normalize pedophilia. Stop it with the conspiracies. Now, family, they've been trying to do this for decades. And they, every few years, again, they put little testers out just to see what the reaction is going to be, just to see how much they can get away with. Now, USA Today, they put this tweet up the other day and people got on their asses and they had to take the tweet down. This was up on USA Today the other day. When most of the public thinks of pedophilia, they assume that it's synonymous with child sexual abuse. A pedophile is an adult who is sexually attracted to children, but not all pedophiles abuse kids, and some people who sexually abuse kids are not pedophiles. Bullshit. USA Today, a major corporation, put that out. And they got so much backlash, they had to delete the tweet. You see, this tweet has been deleted. People got in their asses about it. And other news articles and media outlets are talking about it. USA Today faces backlash and deletes the tweets, which normalize pedophilia by claiming it's misunderstood and a condition determined in the womb. Family, we did a whole movie about this. There's a reason why all the white supremacists were trying to troll and deflect when it came to the buck-breaking movie. Because they knew we were right. When y'all see people doing all of that trolling and deflecting, trying to discredit something, so desperate to discredit something, that means we're on to something. That means we're on to something. We told people that these people were trying to push this damn agenda and normalize pedophilia. They're going after the kids. And see, the thing is, so many of these pedophiles, especially the white LGBT pedophiles, many of them, they're getting punished and them going to jail over and over, because every damn day we see these white men going to jail for pedophilia. They damn near have a monopoly on that. The pedophile game with the white supremacist male is on a whole different level. That's just a part of the white supremacist culture, messing with them damn kids. We broke that down in the buck-breaking movie. That goes all the way back to the Greco-Roman era. They've been doing that. Please watch the movie Buck-Breaking if you have not watched it. But we talked about how that's been a part of their culture for a long time. So now, white numbers are dwindling right now. And they can't sit here and just keep criminalizing white people under any circumstances. They can't do that. They have to come up with ways to not criminalize white people. So now they understand that these white men are not going to stop being pedophiles. They know that. Especially these white LGBT people. They know that they're not going to stop being pedophiles. So now what they have to do, they want to take the stigma away from pedophilia so they can ultimately decriminalize it, so that these white men can stop going to jail for it. So you can't have white people the face of any type of criminality. You understand? And they're trying to push this to the kids. And then they get all of these white drag queens doing that drag queen story hour. Remember, they were going around the country having, and they still do this. They have drag queens read to children. And then when you look at the backgrounds of these drag queens and these transgender people, damn near half of them got pedophile charges or child molestation charges. So their movement has become synonymous with criminality, ladies and gentlemen. That's why they have to fight so hard to push it. Their movement has become synonymous with criminality. So now what they have to do is say, well, since you want to criminalize us, let's minimize the seriousness of pedophilia. Pedophilia ain't really that bad when you think of it. Just because you're having sex with kids don't really mean you're harming the kids. This sick ass nonsense. And family, we should never go for that. Don't ever let them bully you into going along with that nonsense. Don't ever let them bully you into going along with that nonsense. That's complete filth. So now, see, they do this with white criminals. I put up another post the other day on my Twitter where they were in a courtroom and they had all of these white drug addicts. And boy, they were in there treating the courtroom. They had this judge. They were literally treating the courtroom like a damn AA meeting. They were in there, man, they were giving people treatment. Nobody was getting jail time. They were in there applauding people for being 30 days clean. And oh my God, thank you. Oh, you're so brave. The judge was in there running the courtroom like a Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. Well, you guys are going to heal. We're going to send you to treatment. We're going to make sure that you get rid of this sickness that you have. It's a disease that you have, and we're going to make sure you get the best medical treatment. They got these criminal ass white people, and they're smoking all this damn dope, doing all these drugs, treating them like they're babies and victims. Where when black folks, you go in there with a bag of weed, they're giving you 20 damn years for a bag of weed. For some natural shit that comes out of the earth. They're giving black folks 20 and 30 years for weed. So they always have to decriminalize anything that white people are doing in mass. They gotta find a way to decriminalize it. And that's really what that's about too. So they're going to knock out many birds with one stone. And plus, they can hit that agenda. They can come to us with that and promote it to us and start messing with our kids. And if we fight back, they can say, well, damn it, why are you fighting this guy? Him being a pedophile is not really a crime, but you assaulting him for being a pedophile, for messing with your kids. Now, that's the real crime. You see, that's why I've been on these folks' backs about this. This is why I've been doing artwork like this. This is why I've been pushing awareness to the white LGBT's agenda when it comes to us. This is why I've been pushing it in movies, social media, in artwork, right here. This artwork, this NFT that we have, and you can click the link below to get more information about this NFT and others. This is why we've been pushing this artwork. Because they've been trying to normalize this. Study this image right here. This is a black kid who has a noose around his neck and he's wearing it like it's normal. And the noose is a rainbow noose. So he's wearing his own destruction like it's normal. Look at the messages that we're trying to give you out here. We're trying to push messages out here. You understand? And I'm gonna keep pushing the messages because I have children. I don't want these people touching my goddamn kids or any other black children or any children, period. I don't even want to see white children be touched by perverted ass pedophiles. You understand? We got to stop playing games with these folks and start calling the agenda out. We have to call it out, ladies and gentlemen. So whenever we start talking about what's going on in our community, what's going on with us, I like for Foundational Black Americans, we have to start leading the discussion, ladies and gentlemen. We have to lead the discussion. We can't have some of these other people trying to speak for our issues. We can't. Because you know what? When we go over to their countries and forget about speaking negatively about any issues or whatever, even if we speak positively about certain experiences in certain other countries, we still get attacked. Did y'all see what happened to singer Ari Lennox? Ari Lennox, she's a singer, R&B singer. She's from DC. I think she's from DC, right? And I like Ari Lennox. She said some pretty funny style shit, you know, before. Some hotep. She done said some real funny style stuff. Now, I like her as a singer. I like her voice. But she said some funny style stuff before. But anyway, she was over there in Africa. She went to Ghana. So she went to Ghana and she was actually giving Ghana props. She went over there and she was like, oh my God, I'm over here in Ghana. So spiritual and I love it. The people are so great and I love the energy here. And do you know a bunch of African coons were clowning her because she was giving props to Ghana? They were giving her shit because she was giving props to Ghana. Let me show y'all some of the tweets that they were spewing about her. And she was over there giving them props. Right, Ari Lennox removed tweets and Instagram posts on Ghana after the backlash. So she was over there talking about how much she liked it. She was at Afrochella. And she was like, yes, she was crying on her first visit to the beach and she was suffering for her ancestors. I didn't feel alone. It was a surreal experience. So she was talking about the feeling she had for going over there to Africa. And then, boy, the African coons, boy, they were like, look at this. Americans will ancestor you to death. Another, I'm back again. This woman thinks she's in Wakanda. This is too corny. Are your ancestors even from Ghana? Why are Americans so corny? Boy, they were going in. Boy, they were going all the way in. Boy, it was a lot of them. Oh, shut up with all of that ancestor talk. Shut up, niggas. Oh, they were going in. So they bullied her into deleting her tweet. And listen, a lot of the, and this is the coon class, and we understand it's the coon class over there. We know. And most of them, a lot of them are over here too. A lot of them, they don't like us going over there. The coon class, they don't like us going over there. period, and doing anything positive, because they understand if we get over there and we get a foothold over there and they start really giving us some tangibles over there, like land, if they start giving us stuff, Foundation of Black Americans, we'll turn Africa around overnight. And they know this. But the Pan-Africanism has been one-sided. And the Coon class knows that if they gave us land in Africa, if they gave us land over there, they start giving Foundational Black Americans land and say, hey, y'all come over here. We're going to give you dual citizenship and we'll give you land. We carved out, we got all this land and we're going to carve out land specifically for Foundational Black Americans. Come to this land, do as you please, and you'll be dual citizens. Family, they know that we will come over there and turn Africa around overnight, and the Sambo class of African people don't like that, because they are looking like, damn, how would that make us look? They know that will make them look funny style. They understand that these niggas came over here and did in a short period of time what we have not been able to do for centuries. Let's keep it a buck. We will go over there and turn that shit around overnight if they let us over there with dual citizenships en masse. And they know this. And the Coon class understands this. Let's keep it a buck. We would go over there and get that shit popping. We would make Africa the shit. We would make it pop off. We wouldn't be over there getting beat up by the Chinese and all of that shit. We'd handle that just like we handle these white supremacists over here. That's why they need armies against us. But we would go over there and make that shit pop off. And they know this. Why do you think we have a running joke about the tethered coons always complaining about the museum? Where's that museum, nigga? That's a running joke now with us. Because anytime somebody tries to ask about the museum in a very condescending way, it's usually these non-FBA tethers hoping that we don't get the museum popping, because they already feel a certain kind of way that we, Foundation of Black Americans, we raised $1 million in a month without the help of white people. That's why all of the pushback and vitriol for the museum usually comes from non-FBA tethers. Anytime you see somebody hating on the Foundational Black American Hidden History Museum, it's always a non-FBA tether doing it. Hey, nigga, you got all that money for that museum, nigga. You're not going, what are you going to do with that money, nigga? You scam artist. Where's that museum, nigga? It's been 4 months. It's been 4 months, nigga. You don't get a museum in 4 months. No, nigga, you're supposed to get it fast. Motherfucker, I'm not going to get any type of real estate advice from a motherfucker who cannot build a toilet. You understand? Let's keep it a buck. And I'm not talking about all of y'all, but I'm talking about the Coon class. I'm talking about the Coon class. And I don't want to hear that excuse. Well, over here, we cannot get it. It is the government. The government is corrupt. It is a corrupt government. We cannot do it because it is a corrupt government. Miss me with the corrupt government talk. No government on the planet is more corrupt than the United States government, ladies and gentlemen. The United States government is the most corrupt government. Family, we have a government that enslaved us, broke up our families, sold our children, Jim Crowed us and allowed us to be lynched and allowed us to be segregated with no resources. I don't want to hear about a damn corrupt government. We have the most corrupt government in the history of mankind, and Foundational Black Americans still stand up and fight back, and we fight back to this day. Miss me with that corrupt government talk. Ain't no government more corrupt than this. This government was founded on corruption. White supremacy is corrupt. Miss me with that. Niggas over there cannot get on code with each other. There's 100 million people in this country, another 50 million in another, and niggas can't even get on code together to build toilets and water systems. Talking about the damn government. You're the government. Come on. My African brothers and sisters, I'm talking to you, and I know y'all listening. Y'all get on that tribal bullshit. Y'all heavy on that tribal stuff. Y'all still up there with that tribal beef nonsense after all of these years, and then you try to bring that over here. We don't need that. You understand? Let's keep it a buck here. That tribal thing. See, let me tell you something. That off-code tribal thing, that's the reason why things are in shambles over there in the motherland and even in the Caribbean. There's a lot of tribalisms going on over there in the Caribbean. We have the least amount of tribalisms here because we all know that we all get treated the same way as black people. We all know this. We all understand this. And let me tell you something, there's a reason why they started opening up the black community to a lot of the immigrant class people, because they understood that they would be off code from us. See, the problem is, right after the 1960s, too many black people were on code, and that was a problem. See, family, we really don't study the 1960s and the 1970s the way we need to really study it. Because we got a lot of stuff done because we were on code, because every black person knew that we were all getting treated the same. There was no special treatment that any black people were getting. We were all getting shit on. So we all knew we had to put our heads together as a collective group and fight the white supremacists together. This is why the bus boycotts in the South were successful. All the black people got on code and shut the bus systems down. You understand? It wasn't that we gonna break the strike and we gonna start loving on the white folks. We knew better than to do that. We had to be on code. But when they started bringing over the non-FBA class, they looked at themselves as separate from us in many instances. So whenever we tried to do the bus boycott type of thing again, it wouldn't work because we had too many black folks who were off code. Recently, out there in Brooklyn, remember a couple of years ago, my sister Jade was out there helping to shut down that nail salon that beat them sisters up. Them Asian people beat up a couple of sisters at a nail salon. And my sister Jade, who's Foundation of Black Americans, she was out there leading the charge and shutting that place down. And eventually she helped shut that shit down. But I want y'all to remember, never forget this. When the black people were out there boycotting and making sure that nobody went up in them shops or that particular shop, it was some of those damn Caribbean mammies who was going up in there hugging up on them Asians. I never want y'all to forget that. There were some people breaking the picket line and going up in that shop hugging on them damn Asians, and it was them goddamn Jamaicans and them Caribbean women. Them Caribbean mammies was up there doing it. Don't ever forget that. Them goddamn Caribbean mammies said, fuck these niggas, I need my feet done. But we still got that shit shut down. Shout out to the family. But don't ever forget who's always hugging and kissing and trying to get some truth and reconciliation. You understand? Now, let me be fair. Now, all the Caribbeans are not on that bullshit. You do have, every blue moon, you get some Caribbeans who's about that life. Out there in New York, speaking of New York, some of y'all might not remember, there was a Caribbean cat named Colin Ferguson. How many of y'all remember Colin Ferguson? Colin Ferguson, I think he was a Jamaican immigrant. He was from Jamaica. Colin Ferguson started giving white people that work out there. That brother got a pistol and hit the streets and started licking shots. He got tired of racism, and that brother went out there and started lighting white folks up and then went to court and represented himself. Yeah, he went to court and represented himself. He was like, I like to ask the defendant a question. I'm like, nigga, you are the defendant, goddammit. Yeah, Colin Ferguson, sometimes you might get a rider every now and then. Every now and then you get a rider. Yeah, every now and then. But yeah, he got on that subway and started putting in some damn work. But listen. We got to study the 60s and 70s when we were so on code, we became a threat. Too many of us were on code where we became a major threat. You see? After the 1960s, they never talk about the aftermath of the civil rights movement. See, they make it seem like some of the laws and policies changed because white people felt sorry for black people getting beat up. The narrative that they like to push is that, well, it was people like John Lewis, who was a nonviolent protester, and he got his ass whooped by white people, and white people felt so bad, and we just felt a moral responsibility to stop these racist policies. That's the bullshit that they try to push, ladies and gentlemen. That is not what happened. That is not what happened at all. See, they try to rewrite history. That ain't what happened. Family, after the 1960s, they don't talk about how turned up black people got. Some of these black militant militia groups out here that's never talked about. The only one they talk about is the Black Panthers. And they talk about the Black Panthers because a lot of the Black Panthers, the organization, they did a lot of above ground stuff. They did a lot of media stuff, and they were publicly destroyed by the COINTELPRO program. So they don't have a problem talking about the Black Panthers in that capacity. But what they don't talk about are those offshoot groups from the Black Panthers that I've discussed before, like the Black Guerrilla Family. Another one, the Black Liberation Army. That's another one that they never talk about. And see, when they rewrite history, they have to use some of those radical organizations' words and terms and then flip them to mean something else. For example, our brother Fred Hampton, who was out there in Chicago, he had something called the Rainbow Coalition. I spoke on this before. The Rainbow Coalition was basically him getting poor white people and letting them know, and other groups saying, hey, look, the white supremacist capitalistic power structure, they use you poor white people as pawns. So we black people and poor white people, we all need to be fighting together on some Rainbow Coalition shit against the white supremacist capitalist system. That's where the Rainbow Coalition thing came from. Okay. That's where the Rainbow Coalition thing came from. It was a radical ideology. So the white supremacists got that, and then Jesse got it and said, okay, we're going to do the Rainbow Coalition. They gave it to the Boulay crowd, and the Boulay crowd said, okay, we can be a Rainbow Coalition, but we're not going to fight against the government. We're all just going to get together, love each other, just like Dr. King says, and hold hands and sing Kumbaya. And then they took that and morphed it again into, okay, Rainbow is LGBT. Rainbow is the spectrum of all of the sexualities. That's what the colors are supposed to mean. The colors are supposed to mean different spectrums of sexuality. Gay, lesbian, trans, pedophile, all of that shit. You understand? So our brother, Fred Hampton, who was a writer, he was a little misguided because a lot of folks have to understand the poor white person still has monetary value in his whiteness. See, we talk about the capitalistic structure and poor white people, but a white person ain't really poor. Ain't no such thing as a real poor white person when you break it down, because they have $1 million worth of whiteness. And they know this. They understand in a system of white supremacy, the whiteness has monetary value. I'm going to say that again. In a system of white supremacy, their whiteness itself has monetary value that black people cannot pay for. Meaning when white people came over here, when people like to talk about, well, my white ancestor came over here from Italy and he had $5 and he came over here in 1920 and made something of himself. Your ancestor came over here during the height of Jim Crow, which was an affirmative action program for white people. And he knew it when he brought his ass over here. There was an affirmative action program where whiteness was valued. You come over here and get all types of tangibles and goodies and jobs based on being white, and black people were denied these things. Your whiteness has monetary value. White people were given real estate loans and real estate homes and deals based on their whiteness, and that accrued more money later on down the line. They've always used their whiteness to achieve monetary gains. They've always traded in their whiteness for tangible benefits. Your whiteness has value, just like Kyle Rittenhouse. Kyle Rittenhouse had a courtroom bend over backwards for him. A black person couldn't pay for that type of defense that Kyle Rittenhouse had. His whiteness pays for that. He was a broke little white boy, and he got hundreds of millions of dollars worth of defense. They bent over backwards for this dude in a courtroom. All of these suspected white supremacists who raided the Capitol building, ladies and gentlemen, you see how they're getting slaps on the wrist when they go to court? These folks are getting the equivalent of parking tickets when they go to court. A black person couldn't pay for that. That means your whiteness has monetary value. If black people tried to raid a Capitol building, we would not get slaps on the wrist. We couldn't pay for that. If we had $100 million and went to court with our $100 million, we wouldn't get a slap on the wrist like these white people are getting. None of these people are getting harsh sentences. Most of them are getting probation. Most of them are getting a week in jail, a month in jail at the most. These people, damn near all of them, are getting slaps on the wrist. This is how on code they are with white supremacy. You understand? A black person, you couldn't pay for a judge to sit up here and say the people you kill, we can't call them victims. And also, we can't show video of you saying that you wanted to shoot people. We're not going to show that. We're not going to show video of you with a radical, violent organization. We're not going to show your ties to that. We're not going to allow that in court. We're not going to allow anything that's going to further incriminate you. We couldn't pay for that. Your whiteness can. Don't ever let them fool you into believing that a poor white person is somehow equivalent to a black person. That's bullshit. And they know it. Hit that thumbs up button. Hit that like button. We're talking real talk tonight. But family, understand the whole Rainbow Coalition. Again, they've co-opted that. Even Black Lives Matter, even the letters, BLM. See, initially, that stood for the Black Liberation Movement. You see, BLM used to stand for the Black Liberation Movement in the 70s. And people do not talk about the Black Liberation Army and how black folks were turning the hell up. See, understand, when our brother Fred Hampton got killed in 1969, he got killed December 4th, 1969. That closed out the 1960s, him getting murdered, just assassinated. What they do not tell you, see, they make it seem like in the media, well, a lot of black radicals got killed and, you know, everybody just moved on. No, that's not what happened. What they don't tell you, when Fred Hampton got killed, the brothers in the streets of Chicago were turning up on cops. Do y'all know that? Them brothers in the street were out there popping cops in the streets of Chicago in retaliation of Fred Hampton getting murdered like that. Brothers did not sit back and lay down on that one. Family, in the early 70s, there were so many black militia groups putting in so much work out here. And one of the main ones was the Black Liberation Army. They never talk about that. Because what they realize, a lot of the people who are part of the Black Panthers and some of these other organizations, they realize, hey, wait a minute. We're going to have to start going underground now. We're going to have to not be seen in the public like that. We're going to have to start putting in work on the streets. We're going to have to start putting in work on these streets. You had groups like the Black Guerrilla Family, and I talked about them before. Our brother George Jackson in prison out there in San Quentin. When they start turning up on them damn police officers out there. Because you had the prisons full of white supremacists, and the white supremacists were clicked in with the white supremacist gangs, and the guards were white supremacists themselves, and the brothers were like, well, damn it, we might as well put in some work. We might as well turn up. If they're killing us anyway, we need to start killing them back. And that's exactly what they did. George Jackson and those guys, they killed and wounded about 8 white officers in prison, and some white supremacists too, some white supremacist prisoners. Then they ended up killing George Jackson in prison. And after they killed him, what they don't talk about is how the Bay Area turned all the way up. They were turning up heavy in the Bay Area. When George Jackson got killed, you had some of these black militant groups blowing up police stations in the Bay Area. All around San Francisco, Oakland, they were hitting up the administrative offices of the prison systems. All around the Bay Area, they were putting in work. They don't talk about that. The day of George Jackson's funeral, I think on the 28th, I think it was the 28th of August, 1971, I think. Even that morning of his funeral, it was about 2,000 people went to the funeral. Boy, you had the streets popping in the Bay Area. That morning, they blew up a couple of police stations. The very next day, they hit up another police station. They blew that up, bombed that, and then went to another one. While one was being bombed, they just walked in there and start bussing. They got a 12 gauge and blew the chest open of a police officer, killed him. Y'all look up Officer John Young out there in the Bay. BLA killed him. They don't tell you that. Oh, they don't tell you that part of the game. They don't tell you that Brothers was in the streets retaliating. That's a part of the movement they never talked about. And this was very common. If you abused a black person, if you harmed a black person in the early 70s, these organizations, Brothers, would run up in the police station and just start bussing. This happened all over the country. And the Black Liberation Army, they were some of the main ones. And remember, up there in the Bay, you had the Zebra Murders, where they were knocking random white folks off early 70s. That happened up in the Bay, too. That's why the dominant society had to get some act right, because niggas were not playing out here. The streets was not playing at all. That's why they got some act right. Out there in Chicago and in other parts of Illinois, there was a city out there called Cairo, Illinois, where my Illinois people. There was a city out there, a small town, Cairo, Illinois, spelled Cairo, but I think it's pronounced Cairo. Very racist, has a long history of racism. They were up there lynching black folks in jail all the way into the 1960s. They had a white vigilante group called the White Hats going around patrolling the neighborhoods, harassing black folks. Black folks got fed up and black folks started putting in work out there. Black folks started sniping cops. They started running up in them damn police stations in 1970, giving them that work regularly. Regularly. Yeah, Mark Essex, that's another dude out there in Louisiana. He turned up. A brother named Mark Essex, he started sniping cops out there at the Howard Johnson Hotel. He was out there popping their asses. He was putting in work. Look up Mark Essex. Yeah, Cairo, Illinois is just before the western tip of Kentucky. That was a very racist place. Extremely racist place. And black folks said, fuck that. If y'all gonna target us, we're gonna target you. And black folks started bussing back. You understand? Y'all start looking up the Black Liberation Army. They were not playing around. They weren't playing around at all. That's who Assata Shakur was down with. That's who got her out of jail. That's who got Assata Shakur out of jail. She was down with the Black Liberation Army. See, they never liked to talk about them because they were not playing. They were not sitting around here getting beat up. They went underground and they started hitting up cops. They were just running police stations, lighting up whoever was at the front desk. They were going in. They were going in heavy. One of the original BLA members, Daruba, I think he's still alive today. Daruba Ben Wahad. I think that's that brother's name. Yeah, he was one of the original members. He's still around. He got a settlement from the government, as a matter of fact. I think he got damn near $1 million from like the feds and the local government for falsely imprisoning him for like 19 years because they had some trumped up information about him. And they found the COINTELPRO document showing that black organization members were being targeted by the government, so they had to pay him out. Oh, they don't like talking about that. These brothers, they were very smart. They were very politically savvy, militaristically savvy. They understood what was going on. They were handling business. BLA was not playing. Yes, he was FBA. And listen, with BLA, Asada Shakur, that wasn't the only one who got away. There were other ones who got away too that the government has never caught. There's another brother named George Wright who was a part of BLA. And in 1970, him and some others, they hijacked a damn airplane. He was in prison. He broke out of prison. And then later on, I think either 70 or 72, one of those years, but yeah, they hijacked a plane and got $1 million ransom from the government, which was one of the biggest ransoms in history. They got the government to give them $1 million. They hijacked a plane and then took the plane to Algiers. And then I think the money was returned by the Algerian government, but George Wright, and I want y'all to look that brother up, the brother named George Wright, he ended up going to Portugal, and he's still over there now. They won't extradite him. The Portuguese government, you know, he became a citizen, and they wanted to extradite him over here, and they won't extradite him. The Portuguese government won't let that happen. Brothers alive and well right now, still over there in Portugal. Gangster. They never talk about that. They'll talk about Asada Shakur because she's over there in Cuba. But other ones, other BLA members who was putting in work, they're alive and well right now. They got the hell up out of here, did what they had to do, had to bounce. George Wright, he's over there in Portugal right now, live and well. They don't never tell you about that. They'll never tell you about people who was winning. You understand? They don't tell you about that. Somebody in the chat room said BLA killed 4 cops in 1 weekend in 1970. Philadelphia, nigga, they were putting in work all over. They were putting in work. They were not playing. They were like, look, if y'all going to oppress us, y'all going out too. They were running up in police stations all over the country, lighting folks up. Down in Georgia, they were lighting them up in Georgia too. They weren't playing. Mutulu Shakur was one of the major players in the BLA. Mutulu Shakur, that's Tupac's stepfather. That's the dude who raised Tupac. He was married to Afeni Shakur. That's where Tupac got his name, Shakur. But Mutulu Shakur, he's in prison now. They're trying to get him out. But yeah, he was involved in this big time bank robbery in 1981. That's what he went to prison for. But they were lighting up cops. They were putting in work. Family, there's a reason why people like Tupac was so militant. Remember, Tupac, he was raised by the BLA. And don't forget, y'all remember Tupac shot 2 off-duty cops, 2 white cops. They were harassing a black person down in Atlanta. What year was that? What year was that? They were harassing some people in Atlanta. Tupac saw it. Tupac said, pull the car over, got out, got his gun, and start bussing. Where you think he got that from? Part of that Black Liberation Army thing is if you see a black person being harmed, you get in and you put in work. You stop what you're doing and you put in some damn work. You don't sit around and let a black person get harmed. That was their mentality. You understand? That's why Tupac was a problem. Remember how Tupac got his record deal. Tupac was trying to get a record deal for a long time. And nobody was giving him a record deal. When he was down with Digital Underground, he was trying to get his own deal, and nobody was really giving him a deal like that. And then Tupac let it be known that if he didn't get a deal, he was just going to go down to Atlanta and start his own Black Power militant group. He was going to go down to Atlanta and start a Black Power militant group. And that's when he got a deal. That's when he got a deal. It could be viewed as a way to deter him from starting a Black Power militant group. You understand? But we just have to understand how some of our people were really putting in work. Don't make it seem like it was the goodness and the morality of white people seeing the light of day. No. See, they like to push the narrative that it was the John Lewis's and it was the black people singing Kumbaya and We Shall Overcome. No. It was all of those black militant groups, particularly the Black Liberation Army, out there in the streets making shit happen and making sure that they were going to produce justice by any means necessary, by any means they saw fit. That's why you didn't see a lot of police brutality with black people in the 70s and 80s. You didn't see that, and you didn't see a lot of protesting and marching. Now, did you? You didn't see black folks, the protesting stopped. Black people said, hey, the protest, we did all that in the 60s. Protest time is over. We gonna try some new tactics here. It's called pulling up. Those are the new tactics. We gonna start pulling up on folks. Yeah, you didn't see a lot of that brutalization of black people by police in the 70s. That didn't go down like that. Because the minute it happened, the price was too high to pay. Ask the people down in Miami. Remember what happened in Miami? Was that the late 70s, early 80s, when that big Miami riot happened? The cops harmed this brother. And I forgot the details, but I know they turned up. It was a brother named Duffy, I think. I can't remember all the details. But yeah, the cops harmed this brother. The word got back to the streets in Miami. Miami started turning up. They started turning up on the police and white civilians left and right. The black folks down there turned Miami out. They turned that shit out. They harmed a brother and they start putting in work down there in Miami. They were not playing. If you harmed a black person, it was on and cracking. You understand? 1980. That was in 1980. Yeah, nobody protested when they harmed that brother. Was it a motorcycle chase? I know it has something to do with a motorcycle and brother named Duffy, Arthur McDuffie. Yeah, Arthur McDuffie. He was riding a motorcycle in Overtown. Yeah, and the cop killed him, right? They killed him. He was riding his motorcycle and they killed him. And then they tried to lie and brother Overtown turned all the way up. And we all know what happened in the 92 riots when Rodney King got beat up. We saw what happened. We all know what happened with that. But we have to understand, we cannot go for symbolic gestures. We cannot go for the kumbaya talk. We can't go for symbolisms over substance. We're going to have to demand tangibles. And also, speaking of injustice, shout out to the brothers on Rikers Island. Right now, there's some stuff going on Rikers Island with the brothers out there. I know they're having a hunger strike to protest the inhumane conditions on Rikers Island. You understand? Some stuff is going on out there. So I stand with the brothers out there. We're with you. We want to do whatever we can to make sure you're going to receive justice out there. See, the prison industrial complex, as we know it, that shit has to go. It's run like a plantation system. It's run like a genocidal concentration camp, and that has to go. And we have to get more serious about that. You see, we've got an out of sight, out of mind mentality when it comes to a lot of these brothers and sisters who's in the prison system. And at one point, we understood, especially out here in California, they knew what goes on in the prison could possibly go on in the streets. So the prisons and the streets, they were on the same code. And pretty much out here in California, they still have the same code. Whatever goes on in prison, the same code applies to the streets out here. And it was like that in New York for a time. Speaking of New York prison, remember Attica when they had that uprising in Attica prison? And remember the Attica prison uprising was an uprising that happened in response to what happened to George Jackson. That's how on code we were across the country. When George Jackson got killed, right after that, a few days later, Attica turned up. They killed a couple of brothers in Attica. And then in New York City, right after the Attica killing and the Attica uprising, some more cops got popped in the streets of New York in response to the Attica situation. Cops were getting targeted on the streets of New York. Look that up. They were popping cops on the streets of New York in retaliation to Attica. That's how connected the streets and the prison code was. We better understand history. We better understand history. Yeah, New Jersey, they were turning up heavy in New Jersey. You understand? So we have to understand our history and not let people try to dilute our history and rewrite our history as if we were a bunch of pacifist, hand-holding Sambos singing Kumbaya. Nowhere they get these terms from, Rainbow Coalition and BLM, and understand why they use these terms and where they came from and why they chose these particular letters. Because when you talk about BLM, it's going to come up the Black Lives Matter movement, which is now an LGBT movement. They're not going to talk about the Black Liberation Movement. They're going to bury that. They always bury real history, just like the Seminole history. This is what we're doing a movie on now. When they talk about the Seminole War, they make it seem like it was just a war or disagreement between Native Americans and the U.S. government, but the Seminole War was a slave rebellion. That was a big ass slave rebellion that was relatively successful because the people, many of the black people, did not get returned back to slavery. They fought for their freedom and they got it. They don't frame it in the correct narrative. That's where we come from. That's where we come in. We have to frame these things in the correct narrative. The Seminole War, they call that a Negro War. They were very adamant about, hey, these are Negroes we're fighting. These are not Native Americans. This ain't the same thing as an Indian war. These are Negroes, and these Negroes are kicking our asses out here. And we have to acknowledge that. And we'll lie later, which is exactly what they did. I can't wait till y'all see this movie we're doing about that. We're breaking all of this stuff down. But in the meantime, you guys get Buck Breaking, get all the Hidden Colors movies, get Hidden Colors 1 through 5, get 1804, The Hidden History of Haiti. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com, 1804Movie.com, BuckBreakingMovie.com. Get all of that stuff, ladies and gentlemen. And also, don't forget to get my book, Foundation of Black American Race Baiter. You can get the signed copy at OfficialFBA.com. OfficialFBA.com, ladies and gentlemen. The movie American Maroon, that's our new film. That's going to be coming out soon. We're going to have our own streaming service. So we're going to have all our films streaming on the streaming service. And man, we're going to be cranking out these films and documentaries on a regular basis when we get our streaming service. We got to have everybody on board with that because we're going to do this Maroon film. That's going to be the first new film that we have. We're going to have all of our other films on there. But then we're going to have Buck Breaking 2. That's coming next. We got to do Buck Breaking 2. We got to go deeper with that. So we got to have our own media that's constantly pumping out information that's going to help us. And that's what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Great broadcast with the family tonight. Glad to have y'all in here. Don't forget to go to officialfba.com to get all the memorabilia. And also you can get the book, Foundation of Black American Race Baiter. You can get that on amazon.com right now. And I will holla at you guys this Sunday on the live broadcast. Don't forget, hit the subscribe button right now and I'm a holla.